Hi, it's Ian Pickus. We are back in the Congressional Corner today with Tim Versalotti, professor of political science at Western New England University. Just a few weeks left before the election. Tim, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Ian.
So, you know, I've looked at a lot of predictions and websites that make their living by tracking the presidential race and polls and so on, and I'm sure you've done the same. By all accounts, this seems like a very close election. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. It looks like a toss-up even now. If you follow polling aggregators who sum and average the most recent national polls, the New York Times aggregation has it at a 2-point race, Harris up by 2, and it's been 2 or 3 points for quite some time. There's been a little bit of fluctuation in the 7 swing states, but generally in the past few weeks, this has been a pretty stable race.
Now, in the last few days before Election Day, they've been really focusing on specific states. Can you remind us what the real battlegrounds are?
Yeah, there are, and it's interesting how they'll fluctuate a little bit cycle to cycle. This year, there are 7. There is the blue wall, so-called, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, which have played a pivotal role in the last 2 cycles. Those gave Donald Trump the victory in 2016 and contributed to Joe Biden's victory in 2020. Then we have Sunbelt swing states, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. And so between all of them, these are more than 90 electoral votes. You need to get to 270 to win. And the leads in these states are within the margin of error in many polls. And so there's no one state of those 7 that one can assume is in the bag at this point.
So why do you think the race is so close? I mean, a lot of times we have election years where things look close, but then one candidate really does much better in the Electoral College than the other.
Yeah, it's not an easy question to answer. With regard to Donald Trump, he has been a national political figure for 9 years now, and most people have a pretty fixed sense of who he is and how they feel about him as a president. Vice President Harris, though, not as well known, despite her holding the vice presidency for the last 3.5 years, and prior to that, of course, being a senator from California, state attorney general, and so on. She has been spending this period since the end of July really building her name recognition and introducing herself to people. And so at this point, it seems almost like a party split as opposed to a candidate split. But of the two, Harris could have a higher ceiling in terms of people finally coming to some kind of conclusion with Harris and saying, all right, you've met my standard from what I want from a presidential candidate. Donald Trump's numbers just aren't moving a whole lot. There are subtle shifts, and that reflects the pretty solidified public view of him as a candidate and as president.
Let me try out this theory on you that I read in a couple of different places, but they were making essentially the same point. And that is that both candidates are somewhat overperforming where we might expect them to be. You mentioned Trump's relatively low ceiling, but you're talking about a candidate who would have been disqualified from national politics if they had any other name. I mean, given all of the convictions and the multiple impeachments and so on and so forth. But he's still got a very even shot at this thing. Harris, on the other hand, is, by some views, kind of rescuing what was a sure-to-be losing Democratic campaign with Biden on the top of the ticket. So do you agree that, in a way, they're both kind of performing surprisingly well?
You could say that, yeah, that they each defy gravity in their own ways. For Donald Trump, indeed, he has a hold on his base that is profoundly strong. Almost nothing will dislodge his base from him, as we've seen, given his legal troubles. On the other hand, Kamala Harris has the benefit of enthusiasm. There was what we would call an enthusiasm gap when Joe Biden was at the top of the ticket. And with his withdrawal and her ascendancy, people are fired up, particularly young people, particularly women. And for that reason, what she might lack in name recognition or voter knowledge of issue positions, she makes up in emotional appeal, in the sense that if you look at her rallies, these are just absolutely rapturous events that call to mind and may even exceed some of Barack Obama's rallies in 2008. So she's got enthusiasm to lift her beyond where a typical Democratic candidate might be.
Okay, so let's jump to a dynamic that's still relatively new in this race, and that is, as we speak, people have already voted and are voting in early voting, and some of it is much longer than what we even have here in the Northeast. How do you think the role of early voting and mail-in balloting will be felt in this race?
I think it'll be felt in a couple of ways in terms of deploying resources to states for campaign advertising, for example. So if you look at the seven swing states, by the time this segment airs, early voting is likely to have begun in all but one, Michigan. So what this does, a couple of things. It changes the ground game. I've had people, I was at an event and talking to some folks from Pennsylvania who said, "Oh, if I get one more phone call, if I get one more knock on the door of my canvasser, I'm going to lose my mind." And I said, "Here's how you get it to stop. Go vote." Because the campaigns update their contact lists. And once you voted, that's in the bag and they're going to leave you alone. And so when they're doing ground game, when they're doing door knocking, when they're doing phone banking, they're constantly making adjustments and redeploying resources based on where they think votes are still outstanding.
So it really does come down to turnout. I mean, the margins the last time, a few thousand votes in one state or another could have tipped things the other way. And that brings up the question of the timeline for a result. How likely do you think it is that we will, eventually drag ourselves to bed early Wednesday after Election Day and not know who's won?
I think it's pretty likely for a clear reason. Some of the swing states do not even open and begin to count the early vote until that Tuesday night. So Pennsylvania stands out in this regard, and that is the biggest of the seven prizes. Pennsylvania has 19 electoral votes. Because such a significant amount of vote will be in, it's going to take a while to count that vote. And Pennsylvania is likely to be close. And if you chart the various paths to 270, it is central to both the Harris and Trump calculations, more so to Donald Trump, though. If Donald Trump loses Pennsylvania, it's going to be very hard for him to get to that 270. So all that hangs in the balance. I don't think we're going to know that before breakfast on Wednesday, November 6th. I think it's going to take a while.
And I don't expect you to have an answer to this, but I mean, I don't think it's likely that Harris would do this. But what if Trump just comes out and says, "Well, I won. I'll be moving back in January."
Yeah, and there is some speculation in the media that that is a strategy that the Trump campaign will follow on election night. They'll say, "Well, we're looking at the votes that are in tonight. These are the votes that count. And based on that, Trump could declare himself the victor." That doesn't have the power that it used to have. You may recall in 2000 when the networks called Florida for Gore, then called it for Bush, then pulled it back. At some point, George W. Bush was declared the victor. And in a way, that gave him a psychological edge in all of the legal tussling that occurred in Florida in the subsequent month or 5 weeks after Election Day, before the Supreme Court halted the recount, allowing Bush to be the winner. This time around, I don't think Donald Trump crowning himself the winner on election night will have the same power. We've been through this before. We didn't know until the Saturday following the election 4 years ago that Joe Biden had won. And so I think the media absolutely and more engaged voters expect that we're just not going to know election night, and the candidates can say whatever they want. Until the networks make these calls, it's still an open race at that point.
Tim Versalotti is professor of political science at Western New England University. Always a pleasure to have you on, Tim. And when we come back the next time, let's talk some Bay State politics.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Ian.